Welcome to the Social Podcast, where no discussion or debate is off limits.
Hey, everybody. Happy Friday, TGIF. We made it. Welcome to the Social.
Hey there, I'm up in the screen again. My asthma's acting up. So to be super cautious, I'm going to join you remotely today, which means you're missing the dress, but tune in on Instagram and I'll put a picture so that you can see it.
Perfect.
Getting on to the first topic. Benedict Cumberbatch wants men to, quote, shut up and listen in conversations about toxic masculinity. In an interview with Sky News, he said that men have a tendency to get defensive around the subject. Do you agree?
I mean, I wish I could say I agree. Like, oh, yeah, I'm hearing so many guys getting real defensive about this. I'm just looking for the guys talking about it in the first place, to be very honest. I don't know that right off the top of my head that there's enough guys, at least in Hollywood, who are every day on the red carpet saying, you know, we got to deal with pay gaps and we got to do this because we're the guys. We have some power to give up here. We have some privilege to give up here. Like, where is the chorus of men rallying around the women? Because we know a lot of women in the Time's Up movement are leading the charge. But where are the guys marching along with them? I do have to say that.
I think maybe the problem partially is, though, that, like, toxic masculinity is a very, it's a very, like, strong set of words together. When you think about word toxic, it means, like, poisonous and it can kill you. And I think some men hear that and they are
get
just
defensive.
Like,
defensive?
Yeah, they get defensive. And I can kind of understand a tiny bit of that, which is just like, are you saying something about my inherent sort of gender identity that I relate to is problematic on its own? And that's, I think that's a big gross misunderstanding of what people are trying to mean by it. And I think it goes a step backwards from what you were talking about with pay gap and things like that. It simply is these ideas, and we've talked about them on the show before, that some men get raised with, which is this is the only one way to be a man. You can't show emotions. You can't cry. You can't say I love you. I can't say, you know, that guy looks good looking or any of those kinds of notions about that you have to be in this tiny little box and if you stray outside of it, there will be repercussions. I think that's what people are referring to and then all of the follow.
So then maybe
there.
We have to say that Benedict Cumberbatch is one of the guys who's a role model. Like, who are the role models of men who are masculine without the toxic part? And Benedict has been talking about this issue for years. So I would maybe exalt him as a role model for men to follow.
I'm just not sure about, like, you know, I agree, maybe shut up and listen at first. But then,
no,
to your
shut
point.
Up and listen, though, to out of the gate, though, either.
Well,
do you want to hear shut up and listen?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
I it's a guy talking.
Sometimes it's not your
guy.
Turn.
Yeah. I don't think anybody, if they're being honest with themselves, wants to hear, Candy, I want you to go from here. I don't want to hear shut up, and I'll expand on that after, but I want to hear from you.
I'm coming in on the side in the defense of masculinity to a certain extent, only because I was raised by what you call a man's man. My brothers and my dad, they also came up in a different time and a different socioeconomic situation. And they had to literally fight for everything they had and fight to protect it once they had it. And I know that I had the life I had because they were there. Do they know what fork to use at a formal table? No. But they can hunt to feed me. They can give me shelter. They can defend me physically if somebody's coming at me. They can fix my motorcycle.
Did they tell you they love you?
They told me they love me.
They raised
a feminist.
Yes.
And they know how to cook and they know how to make a cake as well. But I just worry sometimes that that in our push to get rid of the really negative stuff, we're only going to leave room for the metrosexual, because in different life circumstances, some men did have to flex and do have to flex their masculinity in a way that others maybe don't have.
See, I think I hear what you're saying, that that's like, you know, that would be a one person's ideal to have, like, men who can do that, to do what they did for you, Candy, and also tell you they love you and show emotions, which is what Cynthia was saying, is like not one way to be masculine. I think that, like, there is, though, an excessive amount of fear mongering about, you're telling me not to be the dude's dude anymore, and you're telling me, like, you're taking away all the things that, I think that's what the concern is. I think that, you know, however you want to be a man is great, just don't make it so that that masculinity becomes aggressively toxic to other people.
I think that's it, though. I think guys are having a hard time I'm not trying to make excuses for them, but what is the difference for some men between toxic masculinity and masculinity? Like, when I'm hearing you talk, Candy, and I hear about that, I hear, okay, maybe stereotypically masculine traits, if I can use, I know this is the time where I'm like, okay, let's figure out our language. But are all men understanding that what is toxic masculinity versus,
I think it's a PR problem.
You know, like, masculinity?
And I don't think we've, or people who are talking about it, have done a great job of explaining it either. And I think we know it when we see it. Here's what I'll say. I know when I see it, and I think I'm more gracious. I will say in my personal life, Jason and I will be watching TV or talking about something during the Time's Up Me Too, you know, movement. We talked a lot, and he was less gracious than I was. He would often say, that guy is a what for, whatever, words I can't say on daytime television. And I would say, well, what about this? And he would say, no, that guy is toxic. That guy is problematic. That guy is whatever. And I do think there are men out there who recognize it also in each other. And maybe what we're looking for is for more of them to say, hey, dude, when you're talking about women that way at this bar, or when you're going and, you know, doing this type of behavior, that's unacceptable.
Well, I think that is the second part, the afterwards of shut up and listen. At first, figure it out, find out what it is. But then you have to participate in the conversation to engage other men, Benedict Cumberbatch, in what the conversation is. I'm not sure that it has a branding problem. Like, as you said, we all know it when we see it. Go to the stands of any sporting event, you will see toxic masculinity, no problem. You will hear it, you will see it, it will be fully on
display.
Is
that toxic, though?
It is 100% toxic.
Again, I don't know if it's toxic.
The line. When you are calling out players, stop playing like a girl, that is toxic.
Well,
and I guarantee you go to any hockey game and you will hear that as many times as you hear the whistle.
But here's the thing. I think what Benedict might be saying, I don't know, is guys have to be willing to be uncomfortable in a discussion. And I think the first part is shut your mouth. Why are you always trying to defend yourself? How about this? Listen, even if you feel like you're being attacked, it's the same thing we're all asking of each other in racial discussions. By definition, if you are being asked to change, the first part is you're gonna get uncomfortable. And I think Benedict is calling out other guys. Let's be willing to get uncomfortable, even feeling like you might be personally attacked, so that otherwise, if you're just gonna defend, how are you gonna be able to hear what are the changes you may or may not? You might be totally good, probably not, but you might be totally good. How do you know if you're not listening in the conversation?
I'm listening to you.
Mansplaining.
I'm listening to this conversation. Yeah. I hope people at home are listening. There's so much more to say on that, but we're going to move on to gift-giving season. It is right around the corner. Here's a question. Is it better to buy someone what they ask for or totally surprise them? According to the New York Times, psychologists have found people are happiest getting items from their list. Do you agree?
I 100% agree. I am the best gifter of myself. Like, I know what I want. And I know I'm married to somebody who doesn't want to listen to what I want. He wants to go rogue. You've heard me talk about the bidet, which he gave me for my birthday. Here's the thing. Jacek is the kind of person, big risk, big reward, or sometimes it goes badly. It went badly with the bidet, but he killed it for our 20th anniversary. So I asked for a ring. I did not get a ring. What he did instead was he personally designed a pair of 20th anniversary earrings.
Wow.
So there are two X's, so X and X, as in 20.
Very sweet.
With like a, you know, it's beautiful. He designed it, he put it together. So no one in the world has these earrings. So he hit all my sweet spots. I love exclusive, I love bespoke. So he nailed it here. But again, he had to balance out the bidet. So
I think he did very well. He did very, very well. This year, everybody is getting a phone call from Melissa saying, what do you want? What do you want? I think there's a lot of things happening this year. It is, I don't want to spend money on something that I don't even know for sure if you're going to like. I will admit I'm not a good gifter. So when I'm like, ooh, I'm going to be creative and I'm going to surprise them. There are times of the year to surprise somebody, maybe try to impress them on their birthday. But Christmas is not one of those times when it's like, everybody is going to get a wonderful surprise that I'm going to be thinking about for a year in advance. That's not me. I'm not a good gifter. I'd rather know My money is going to something that I know for sure you're going to like and you're going to use, or better yet, you would like to get for yourself, but you wouldn't treat yourself.
Yeah, I'm texting
Let
you now.
Be.
I'll just
Let
text
me
you right
be
now.
The person, and I would like to spoil you with something you
Everybody
know.
Text Melissa.
I think you just direct
you
the
want.
Bad gift givers. Candy, do you agree? Like, direct those people who you know are bad.
Yeah, I think a list is helpful if you're not, but for me, with my friends, I try to keep my ears open all year long. So if there's been a sale and my friend says, oh, I really wanted this, but I couldn't afford it, I jump on it. I grab it, I tuck it in my drawer, and at Christmas, they'll find it under their tree.
Sorry, Lainey just showed me her text.
I just texted you what I want.
And Candy,
what is it?
I want to be you when I grow up. I want to be you because honestly, I wish I had that. That is a very special skill. You're very special. I just want to say that out loud. Noted, Lainey.
Can you ever get out of the friend zone once you are in it? Someone wrote to the relationship columnist at the Toronto Star saying they've developed feelings for a friend who's interested in another guy. What can you do if you've been friend zoned?
I mean, yeah, it's hard. I mean, I do think it's hard to get out of the mindset once you've decided that somebody is just a friend. They can start to feel like a sibling to you to some degree, yeah. And it's hard to see them in any other context. And when you cross over that line, it can have unintended and maybe devastating consequences. I know this from personal experience. I had a friend all through university, and when we were just graduating, we were both single at a time. And we were like, oh, well, maybe we should, you know, who knows? What could happen? On paper, it was all good, right? It was like we got along. We had a good sense of humor. I found him attractive.
Who started that conversation?
Who initiated?
It's a good question. I feel like we were out together one night.
Let me guess, you were drinking.
Flirting.
And flirting.
A little bit of flirting entered into the picture. And then I think I might have brought it up. Just being like, I thought, maybe. And then what I didn't know is that he'd been harboring a crush on me secretly for a long time.
Oh.
The stakes were immediately higher.
So did you go there?
We went there.
And
after a month, I was like, this isn't good for me. It's not working out. And then, yeah, he hates
Friendship's
me to this
over.
Day. Friendship is over.
Is that the
but
only
that's...
ex of yours who doesn't, is, you're not friends with? Because you're
Basically.
Friends with all your exes.
Yeah. Yes. And it still hurts me to this day,
yeah.
Right?
That's, yeah, to me, like, there are lots of people you can have a fling with. There are not lots of people you have deep friendships with. So to me, the question always has to be, is this worth risking this friendship? Now, I have a friend that was a friend. Then we were lovers. We fought like cats and dogs. We didn't talk for a year after that stopped. Now we have a multi-decade friendship. And I would never, ever risk that
cross that line
for a shag. Yeah.
Okay, but the thing is, don't you think, here's my question to you, Candy, is that if you're actually a very evolved person, don't you think, I'm not saying you don't go through heartbreak if you've crossed that line and it didn't work out the way you wanted it to, but if you actually were really good friends with that person, can't you get over your own issues and actually be friends with them again? Isn't that the right thing
to do? Okay,
but
you're talking like everyone's on the same page. This is, we're talking about a mismatch. So in this case of this story, one person is harboring, like you were talking about in your situation, feelings. The other person doesn't feel the same. Anytime you're talking about a romantic relationship, when you are not both jiving the same way for each other, you're asking for it. Someone's going to get hurt. I was thinking recently that Joe Coy, who's an amazing comedian, he just hooked up with Chelsea Handler.
Yeah.
They have been friends forever.
Well,
both
they're
of the comedy
in love.
And here's the thing. She's been interviewed at Up, Down, and Sideways. I think, Joe, if you're watching, you can correct me. I think he has been harboring a crush for her for a long time. But it was only when Chelsea said, you know, I kind of like this guy. The switch was turned on, and now they are hot and heavy. And she said in an interview recently, if I would have started something with him earlier, I would have ruined it. And so, yes, they've got this great foundation, but I think he was always there. You can't have just one there. You need both, or Cynthia and your ex.
I agree. I mean, you bring up a good point. On paper, the right thing to do for evolved people is to move past those kinds
when
of things.
When is love
like,
evolved?
It's not. Feelings are, as you know, feelings don't operate the right way all the time, like especially when rejection is involved. It's one of those emotions, feeling rejected can spin out into all kinds of hurt and harm.
I was rejecting him. I was rejecting one part of our relationship. We had a decade.
He only wanted one thing from you.
But that tells
romantic,
me everything I need to know then.
Not that thing. I think he wanted a romantic long-term relationship with you.
I mean,
when
you could have had this part
that,
of it and
no,
of the
no,
whole thing.
He
it's
wanted
like, I'm
one
none
thing.
Of it.
Just, no,
yes,
he wanted one
just
thing.
Just accept that the guy was hurt, Cynthia.
I'm hurt.
Yeah.
Now.
No, he's hurt.
Out there, and Cynthia, this is your realm, not mind. But there is a saying out there that the way you get together, the dynamics under which you get together, mm-hmm. will be dynamics that will continue to play out in the relationship. So who chased whom? And then you will see that that's a dynamic that will almost never change. So if someone was like, I don't know, maybe I like you, maybe I don't. I mean, is that how you want to start a relationship? Yep. I wouldn't want that for myself, personally.
You always want to be the one who gets loved more in the relationship.
Subscribe to The Social Podcast so you don't miss a fiery debate. Until next time, socialites.